Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Alderman Matt O'Shea is in the house with us, and the alderman is got a couple of things going on right now down in Beverly that we wanted to talk about because they pertain to our work, you know, individually and together with the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. Because you're doing, and I'm going to come join you on Sunday morning, you're doing a pancake breakfast at St. John the Fisher, is that right?
St. John Fisher School, yes.
I say the Fisher, because that's the way you say it in Chicago. St. John, everybody, St. John's a Fisher? No, St. John Fisher, yes. And that's on 103rd, right?
103rd in Washtenaw.
In Washtenaw, okay. So west of Western, east of Kedzie.
Correct.
Yes, I knew that. See what a Southsider I've become, Alderman?
You got it.
You get it.
See what I just did right there? All right, now, and then what? Now, explain what happens there.
So this Sunday, February 26th, this is our third annual Get Behind the Vest Pancake Breakfast in support of the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. We are raising dollars to purchase bulletproof vests for the men and women of the Chicago Police Department.
I'm wearing one of them right now.
Yes, you are.
You look sort of strange in it, but is it comfortable?
It's incredibly comfortable. I mean, for a bulletproof vest, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I mean, I prefer my muumuu, but this is this is a little this is, but it's not. They're not heavy. I guess is the point.
It's light, yeah.
Here, right? They're yes. light, and in the summer. I mean, one of the problems I know that the Chicago Police Department had initially when wearing vests was just a you know, they were just trying to encourage guys to wear vests, men and women to wear them, not to, they weren't part of the, they weren't a rule
at
that
point.
Yeah,
routine uniform, right?
And they're like, oh, no, they're hot, they're bulky, I can't move in them, and they were heavy. But now the technology has changed, and now it's a requirement, right, for Chicago
Correct.
Police officers
to
wear.
It's in their general orders.
Yeah. So the idea here is that they're cool, and they are, you know, cooler to wear, not like cool, like, it's, hey, it's cool, but mm-hmm. like they're actually physically cooler to wear.
The guys and women, men and women of the police department are more comfortable, I think, wearing
yeah,
them and
right.
know how important it is to have one on.
I would imagine. I mean, I cannot imagine going out without. I mean, guys did that for years, went out without them. I just cannot imagine why you would want to do that, but it is what it is. So here's the point, though. The Get the Behind the Vest initiative by the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation has been the key here. Is to you when a police officer graduates from the academy and they go to that ceremony at Navy Pier and they get their badge and they get mm-hmm. they start their job, they're issued a vest.
Correct.
That's the only vest that is ever issued to the police officer. Now they do have a uniform allowance, right? But the vests are minimum $500. The good ones are $800. And guys don't change them. Men and women don't change them out. And they expire after about 5-7 years.
Correct.
Right?
If you get a bullet, it'll permanently damage it, too, is what I understand. So you
Correct.
Would have to replace it immediately.
Yes. Raul, a funny story. Just yesterday, I was in the neighborhood, and I ran into a guy I grew up with who has been on the job 20 years. And he said, hey, listen, I'm going to be at the breakfast Sunday morning. I said, thanks. And I said, hey, how old is the vest you wear? And he said, I knew you were going to ask me this question. Huh. I went on in 97. I'm still wearing the same vest.
Wow.
He's got years. He's got kids. He's got kids in high school. He's got kids in grammar school. He's paying a mortgage. What do the men and women of the police department do? They put themselves last.
Right. And question is, are you going to go buy tires for your wife's car? Or, I mean, it's an argument that's always made. I hear this all the time. Or mm-hmm. are you going to go buy yourself a new vest? Right, because your kids
questions.
And your kids and your wife, your family's in the car, right? And you're out on the street, and you'll have to figure it out. That's the kind of decision that is often made by these guys. So the Police Memorial Foundation made a determination about 5 years ago to start this initiative to replace vests, and we've gotten through almost an entire cycle right now of police officers. So that the ones that were expiring, we've replaced like 80% of
yes,
them.
Yes, about 7,000 of the 8,000 that were outdated in 2014 have been replaced.
That's right. Great.
So we're almost there. And if enough people come out to eat pancakes on Sunday, we
might
yeah.
get there. Really? You could get there this Sunday.
I don't think so, but
we could try.
My hope is that
there's nothing wrong with trying.
You might.
And I'm telling you right now, if you show up without a shirt on, but a vest on, I think we could probably raffle that off.
So me?
You think, yeah, you.
Me? You want me? Well, yeah, Alderman, you want funny. Me to show up without the shirt? I could just wear a vest. Yep.
Well, you've got your fancy shirt on and then and then the vest over it.
I look like those guys that they're taking out of court that are, that, you know, they don't,
yeah, right.
they want to get shot before they can get the conviction and then send them to the electric chair. As I'm looking like one of those guys right now.
That's you not, are.
Ro, have you had a pair of yoga pants and mm-hmm. just a vest?
Oh, my gosh.
I do have yoga pants, too.
How
I could do that.
Have yeah. yoga
of course
pants?
You do.
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I know. Alderman. You know who doesn't? Every guy in Beverly. That's who doesn't have yoga pants.
I thought maybe your cravat and suit look that would also work with the vest. And, you know, people might see that and think, well, that doesn't look
I'm
right.
I just think that
that's
this,
okay.
this is quite comfortable. It's got, it's, it, I'm just sort of, I'm sort of getting used to it now.
You know who does
sort of
have
slimming,
yoga pants? But... Father Dan Brandt's got a couple pairs.
Oh, I know. Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, like that's Dan when he, that, right, not, Dan, when Dan's not actually, when he's actually wearing pants, which sometimes he just shows up with his collar and no pants on. Oh, what, I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot.
He's like that.
Yeah, he's like that. All right, so this is, all right, so, and what, if people come to the pancake breakfast, how much is it to get in?
It's $5 per person, $25 for family.
Awesome.
And these
and if you want to make another donation while they're there, that's a nice thing to do.
Or what if you're not there, how do you make the donation?
You can go to getbehindthevest.org and yes. make a donation. If you're a Southsider, you can stop by my office and drop a check off.
CPDmemorial.org, too. That's the overarching website for the memorial.
If you go to Get Behind the Vest, too, it's a sobering reminder of the dangerous police officers face. It's worth a read just to look at it. 61% increase in the deaths from gunfire for police officers since 2013. 61% increase.
Since 2013.
Just in right? 4 years.
And that's kind of the larger theme is we need to do more in communities across this country to support the police.
No question.
There is no question. And to have an understanding, I mean, this is, without getting all political, this is there's no reason to get political. I know this has been politicized, and mm-hmm. it's, the right wants this, the left doesn't, and all that's not true. The reality is that people want the police to be an effective, fair and just and effective law enforcement and crime deterrence force. And sometimes there are people who do that better than others. There are individuals who do that better than others. There's organizations who do that better than others. But when you have a situation like we have in Chicago, and let's just stick with what's happening here, mm-hmm. because it's ridiculous, right? I mean, we had 2 days ago, deadliest day, that 24-hour period
when
from Wednesday into Thursday.
Homicides just at this point of the year, which
right.
is a little bit ahead of a terrible year last year.
7% of those 100 in one day, right? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the shootings on the expressway and the other things that are happening, and people, I mean, when the president, as much as I'm not sure he's got the non-political intent here, but when he says, what is going on in Chicago? It's the same question that we are asking. And are there solutions? We had Bob Mylan on from, former prosecutor here who's got this idea of using the National Guard to actually cordon off areas, create perimeter areas around really, really deadly zones in Chicago so that, you know, people coming in and going out, if there is a shooting, the people can't get out of that area. You know, I mean, it's like a whole I don't know if that's a solution.
But it's a plan, one that's out there.
Someone's got to come up with a plan. You're an alderman. I mean, what do you think the what is holding up actual solutions here? Because in your legislative body, that's where they would come from in theory.
I mean, one big step, I think, is kind of what I'm here to talk about today, and that is, you know, standing up with the police, partnering with the police, forging relationships in communities with the police. That's a first step.
And what do police have to do that to do that? Because I don't think citizens are necessarily going to do that on their own. I mean, police have to put themselves in a forum setting in order to start that conversation, right?
Right.
We've always talked about community policing. And what does that actually mean?
I think leaders in community need to step up more. Elected officials need to step up more. I mean, we need to be the voice to the folks that we represent to say, you know, come forward, you know, engage with the police, try to build a relationship with the police, communicate with them that that is the first step. There needs to be a sense of trust. And every time you hear about a crime in the city, what do you find out first? Nobody saw anything. Mm-hmm. Nobody comes forward, whether that's fear of retribution.
Right.
But every time we hear about one of these shootings, and 85% of the time they involved gang members, one gang shoots at another gang, and then there's the retaliation. And the police know it's coming. They need to know they're going to go get this gang in this territory, and then they're going to come back a few blocks away and retaliate.
Right.
And the body count
just goes up and up and up. And then the body, but it's not just the body count of those guys. We saw this week to tragic result. You know, pregnant woman being gunned down. Then the question is, in the city, I mean, we've been around this a long time, right? Whether you're in the press, you're in law enforcement, you're in, you deal with this day in, day out. You live in the neighborhoods where it happens. People go, well, she shouldn't have been there with that guy, right? Or the kid shouldn't have been there with his dad. You know, I mean, when you got a 2-year-old with their mom or their dad, or you have a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old, or an 8-year-old who just wants to go out and play basketball, it has nothing to do with anything. He isn't around anybody, but they target him because of who his parents are or his dad is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's, we have lost our way. And I have been, and you have been, we all have been just talking about this till we're blue in the face. But it is, we've got to, a solution has to hit the table here at some point. Because I don't see any. I don't hear any coming out I hear a lot of platitude coming out of the mayor's office and out of some aldermen in the city. Well, we need to do things. We need jobs. We need this. Fine. Jobs. You need businesses to create jobs. Those businesses to create jobs are not going to put them, if they have an option between going into the center of Englewood and going to the West Loop, they're going to choose the West Loop every day of the week, right? I mean, it's just not going to happen. So there has to be an incentive. There has to be a plan. There has to be the assumption of some real estate in these places and, create enterprise zones or whatever it happens to be. Go work the deals. And you can't just say, all right, we're going to open up an enterprise zone. Who's going to have it? They got to do what I think in some respects, what President Trump did. They got to call some people and they got to say, hey, you got some stuff going on. You can come in here. Here's the deal we're going to give you. The mayor has done a very nice job doing that with McDonald's and some of the other major corporations coming to the city. There are smaller companies that might be willing to take that risk. And then to add to the labor pool in Chicago by training some of the people in those neighborhoods to do whatever that job is, mm-hmm. Whatever the light manufacturing or whatever it happens to be. And I just don't see it being, it's like an endless cycle, and no one wants to make that first affirmative step, and it's pissing me off.
Well,
just want to go into a pancake breakfast mm-hmm. on Sunday.
You're ready,
That's
what
I'm going to do. I'm going to wear my vest to a pancake breakfast, and then Father Dan Brandt, the chaplain of Chicago Police Department, is going to hit me in the chest with the vest on.
You got to do something with Rhoda to raise money. Do you have anything? He's a creative guy. Alderman knows how to do these
don't
things.
Don't give him
he's
any
raised
ideas.
A lot of money for good causes over the years. He can figure out what to do.
Shirtless in this
you,
thing.
Though.
I'm not doing that. My doctor says I can't do it.
Right.
Actually, and I believe there might be some sort of a public decency law that also requires me not to do it. I'm not sure. Exactly, 100%, Matt, but yeah. I know it's there. All right, so come on out on Sunday. It starts at 8 a.m. and it goes to noon. It's a pancake breakfast at St. John Fisher on 103rd Street in Chicago, 103rd, just west of
Wayne. Now, Roe, these aren't just ordinary pancakes. These are...
Oh, you're doing something special?
These are original Pancake House.
Oh.
The Harrigan
better.
Family, which is owned and operated...
They got one on Western, right?
Yeah, 104th right and Western. They've been there for more than 50 years. They are supplying all... the pancake needs we have.
Oh.
And we're going to have a couple of other people out there. Ryan Meat Company has donated quite a bit of sausage links, and Mariano's is also a sponsor. So, and everything is donated by these three companies.
So the money goes direct to
correct.
The cause.
$5 a person, $25 for a family. And those families down there, $25 is just fine. If you're getting an entire pancake breakfast for $5, you should make it 10. You should tip the Police Memorial Foundation another 10. And if we raise, because about, like we said, $500 a vest. So, we might be able to buy a dozen vests.
Are there blueberry pancakes?
I was going to say chocolate chip.
I'm a big blueberry pancake guy.
Mickey Mouse.
Banana nut.
I do like the chocolate chip.
I do love
the kids. You know, when the kids hear this, they come down. It literally is like having kids coming downstairs.
Do you guys have pancakes down there?
When the adults are in, you know, downstairs talking and they hear something and they come down. Hey, did you guys say pancakes? What are we doing?
Extra syrup, please.
Yeah. All right.
I like to butter the pancake first.
Oh, yeah.
First.
Put a lot of
Matt O'Shea is the great alderman from the Fightin' 19th down in Beverly. And thank you very much for being here. And we'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you, Rowan.
Or twice on Sunday, I guess is the way that we say that. Every day of the weekend and twice on Sunday. Right now, Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Travel Spots.